Unfortunately, sometimes these life-saving procedures aren't enough, and there comes a time when a decision has to be made to withdraw treatment and allow a person to die peacefully. We're joined now by Dr. Ari Erkol. He's a doctor in the intensive care unit at Addenbrookes Hospital, and we wanted to talk about, what is this moment? How do you know, as a doctor, what sort of things are you looking for when the decision needs to be made? Do we turn off someone's life support?
So these are incredibly difficult and very emotive thoughts and concepts. Intensive care is all about keeping the body alive while treatment succeeds, hopefully, to sort out the underlying disease, not just trauma, but other life-threatening infections and various other diseases. But sometimes the disease is too severe and things become futile. Under those circumstances, that's relatively straightforward. If it's clearly futile and the patient isn't going to survive, then we shouldn't proceed. It can also be quite difficult situations when, in fact, actually what we may be doing is going against the wishes of the patient if we're not careful. So, for example, some patients may arrive at a state of acute or life-threatening illness after a long period of chronic illness. And generally speaking, in medicine, one of the key priority for us as doctors is to think about the autonomy of the patient, what it is the patient would want. Generally speaking, we would never offer or enforce a treatment onto someone that they didn't want. The difficulty in intensive care, of course, is that many of our patients, in fact, most of our patients are unconscious, either because of the disease or as a necessary treatment inducing coma. And so what we then have to do is think a little bit about, try and understand what it is that what patients would find acceptable in terms of their treatment. It's pretty tough being critically ill, and it's not necessarily for everybody. Now, the only way we can really find that out is to speak to family, try and understand that particular patient and formulate an opinion of what they were like, what they would want, what they would not want.
And in terms of the clinical signs and symptoms that you're looking for, are there particular things where you can say, I think we should stop now?
I mean, there are some situations that are probably in the minority where it becomes very obvious. So, for example, brainstem death. We know there is no recovery from brainstem death, and therefore we really have to stop. This person has died. Their heart may be beating. We're getting oxygen into them because of the life support system, but they cannot recover. But those are probably the minority. One of the difficulties in medicine is it's often very difficult to know exactly what the final outcome is going to be. So this can pose us with real sort of clinical and ethical decisions. And the main thing that we have to consider is what that patient would have wanted if we could possibly ask them.
And so once that decision has been reached that, you know, we've come to the end of the road and it's time for this person's treatment to be stopped, what actually would happen then? What sort of processes? I'm assuming that it's not just like you pull the plug out of the wall. Right. What actually happens?
No, not at all. And I think that's a really important point. So the way I like to look at it is really we're changing our attention from, well, we've been trying to prolong life. We've come to the point at which we've realised that actually what we're doing is we're prolonging death instead, or prolonging the dying process. And then what we really want to do is change our attention from that physiological support, that life support, to thinking very about hard about how we can keep people comfortable in the last minutes or hours or sometimes days of their life. So it's very much about changing from technology and keeping the patient alive to palliative care and controlling symptoms and keeping them as comfortable as possible.
And to sort of end on a slightly more positive note, obviously we do hear a lot about stories of organ donation when people have ended up in this situation and have become organ donors. Tell me a little bit about that process. How does that decision get made and what happens and why is it so important?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, the decision to donate their organs is one that may give some meaning to a death and actually can, you know, improve the quality of lives and survival of a great number of people. So the organ donation originally arose from in the sort of brainstem dead patients as donors. These are patients in whom, whilst the brain has been irreversibly destroyed or damaged, the heart is still beating, and with life support, oxygen can get into the lungs, and the organs are still well perfused and survive very well, and may be very healthy. In recent times, there have been huge advances in so-called donation after cardiac death. The problem with the heart stopping is, of course, at the same time that it stops blood getting to the various organs, and the organs then also subsequently die. But in situations such as in intensive care, where life support is being switched off, and we have some idea about the timing of the heart stopping, it may be possible to organise things in such a way that organ donation may still be possible.
And sort of very briefly, to encourage people to become organ donors or to think about it and look into the process, what should people do if they think, yeah, if the worst should happen, I want to help?
There are lots of resources out there, and particularly the web has a huge number of different resources. And I think more than anything, the most important thing is to make your wishes known, discuss it with your friends and families. And if you do feel that you would like to donate your organs, then ensure that you're on the donation register.
We've had a tweet in from listener Ed Wilson, and he raises a really interesting question. Are organs ever unacceptable for donation? For example, if people have been given certain drugs or treatments?
I would say that's almost never a consideration. Whilst it is true that some drugs can cause organ damage, that's almost never severe enough to preclude organ donation.
Are there any circumstances that do, say, sort of certain diseases or illnesses that would?
Some diseases, such as cancer, can prevent people donating some of their organs. But again, everything's dealt with on an individual basis. So it's a matter of looking at each person as an individual.
Hopefully, lots of people will be encouraged to become organ donors and also talk about their wishes with their families, as you've said. That's Dr. Ari Urquhart from Addenbrookes Hospital's Intensive Care Unit. Thank you very much.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist this week with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney.